As I rode back across the high Transvaal plateau from our jaunt in the woodbush, I was, I remember, in contented mood. The journey had been an indulgence, I would not deny it, but I'd been very weary from too many months of hard labor, and the landscape in these parts was of a sweetness that recalled my Scottish glens and soothed my spirit. Our task had been to look into certain of the less technical aspects of land settlement in that distant and potentially fertile region. My responsibilities committed me to spend many hours in the saddle, but I welcomed my release from an earlier role in this country where I'd been obliged to suffer the misery of Boer mothers in the camps to which their menfolk's recalcitrance had consigned them. With that behind, I could respond in good faith to the invigorating challenge of this strange and bewitching country. I had picked up a little of the Boer language, the Taal, and I flattered myself that, as a Scot, a Presbyterian, and a countryman, I was not too far from being a kinsman of these infuriating, yet honest and companionable people. As one old farmer in Krugersdorp had lately conceded to me, while he proffered his Mumpur brandy, "You scarcely qualify as an Engelsman." There were moments when I could imagine how in other circumstances my loyalties might have been strained. Now that Kruger and his gang were out of it, the old rogue safely in European exile, where his great age and declining health would certainly bury him, the last battle of the defeated Boer had a tragic appeal. Perhaps we might have given more credence to the more liberal elements in the Transvaal, to Joubert, for instance, and Louis Botha. Perhaps such men, with others like Smuts, might yet signal us the way ahead. These were my traitorous thoughts, provoked by youthful energy and good spirits, as my wagon clattered across the stony tracks of the northern Transvaal. I had left the crags and virgin forest of the Berg far behind me by now, and the mules made good speed because the dust of the open plateau was kept down by the evening showers of the high summer. I had left myself no space to dawdle, for Lord Milner himself had specified that I was to return to Sunnyside, our mansion headquarters to the north of Johannesburg, in time for the arrival of the Chamberlains, when, he was kind enough to intimate, I could expect to be introduced to my master. That, he seemed to suggest, might be no bad idea, which I took to mean that I'd now been on his staff for nearly 18 months, and as we all knew the path of reconciliation and reconstruction would be a long one, we should consider, in the great man's company, whether or not my own career need delay me much longer in southern climes. It was not my business to speculate whether Lord Milner might have similar thoughts on his mind. He had already carried immense burdens, and those of us, in intimate daily contact with him, were aware of the rumors that he was anxious to retire. No doubt these matters were to feature during their weeks in Sunnyside. It was hot as Hades in Johannesburg, and I was reminded that I did not care for this quondam mining camp. The local rags were full of Chamberlain's speech in the Volksraad Parliament in Pretoria, where, so far as I could read between the lines, the Secretary of State had given an uncompromising response to the Boers' demand for an amnesty, and nevertheless been cheered by them for it. We dined that evening at Sunnyside, a big party, but the ladies were present. Mrs. Chamberlain, perfectly charming to me, and, as I had anticipated, there was no serious talk, even as we passed Lord Milner's best port. I had warmed to the minister, although I could not see any great qualities of leadership in him. He was dapper and businesslike, no doubt an excellent general manager of the British Empire. But he seemed, I felt, to lack vision. Nor was he impressed by my story of meeting the Boer general Deloray, which Milner insisted that I tell. The villain had taken to me and had offered to have me on his staff in the next war, which would, he said, be fought by the British and the Dutch against the Jews. Chamberlain did not seem to share the table's amusement at this tale, and we rejoined the ladies shortly afterwards.